Welcome in to the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. Welcome in. Hey, got a great show for you today. I really do. But before we get started, make sure you hit that like, that share, that sub, that notification bell, all that good stuff. If you listen to me on the audio platform and you're listening on iTunes, please leave me a good review for the show. And if you want your name scrolling below, if you want to be like a sponsor of this show, help keep this show going, just drop down into the description box, click on Patreon, and check out the benefits. If you like to support the show as low for as low as thing like $2 a month, like $1.99 a month, come on in, become a supporter of the show. But let's get started without further ado. Let's get into the show. Now,
hovering over the skies of a post-Christian society, we have spotted a man with a donut in one hand and rosary beads in another.
Child, I'm about to whoop Satan's behind.
He is boldly proclaiming truth and reason like no rigid Catholic ever has before. The David L. Gray Show begins now.
Yes, the David L. Gray Show, voicing truth and reason. We are live streaming on YouTube, on the fake book, and on Twitter. Welcome in, everyone, for the Monday show. Today, our big topic today is the Knights of Columbus. They have a huge problem. I discovered that a countless number of their members are actually Freemasons. I'm going to show you their names. And this is just really just a small sampling. But the Knights of Columbus have a big problem with members who are excommunicated from the Catholic Church because they're Freemasons. So that's the main thing of the show. Before we get there, as everyone gets in, I'm probably going to talk about this new poll that came out, or this new study that found out most people don't believe in God anymore. So gonna do that real quick. Excuse the vest, I look kind of fancy today. I usually wear like a t-shirt and a hoodie or something, but I just got off of Patrick Coffin's show. He's doing Hope is Fuel, so I did a recording for him for his educational series. And if you want to check out, I think there's like over 30 speakers. And if you want to hear what everyone has to say about Hope is Fuel, you can hop over there. I think it's hopeisfuel.com. And if you type in my name, David L. Gray, then you get like $20 off or 20% off. Is it $20 off of the package? So, of course, I did a phenomenal talk on there. Also, I'm going to do a phenomenal talk in Chicago at the Coalition for Cancel Priest at their conference later in the, not too long from now, towards the end of June, like June 24th, 25th, Feast of St. John the Baptist. So if you are in the Chicagoland area, hop on up to that. I'd be happy to see you. Going to do a talk there. So I had this, one of you guys had emailed me, or somebody had posted a comment in the comment box. Somebody was saying, it took you too long to get into the show. Listen, this is a show. I'm talking. We're just having a conversation. All right. If you want to get to the main event, and if you're watching recorded, just drop down into the description box and check out the timestamps to get to where you want to go. All right, lady. Don't come on here carrying me. Talking about, it took you too long to get into the show. Brandon saying, oh, you look fancy schmancy. I know, the vest, right? I look like any guy that works at like a fine restaurant, right? Serving your meal somewhere like, I don't know, the Cheesecake Factory. Is that where they wear vests there? Cheesecake Factory? Yeah, enjoy the time. My gosh, where else do you have to go? Listen to the David L. Gray Show, right? See, that's what I'm talking about. Will says, what happened with my knights? Yeah, we're gonna see, Will. I don't really know what to say, man. It's not good. It's not good. We're gonna get into that. Hey, this poll came out very recently. This was reported in the news, and it says that the University of Chicago NRC unit, they conducted their biennial general social survey. And what they found out is that in 1998, when they conducted this poll, 63% of adults in 1998 said that they were certain that God exists. 63%, not bad, right? Had to be down from 100%, like, you know, about 1,000 years ago. But that fell to 53%, 53% in 2018. So 20 years later, it went down, what, 5 points? No, 10 points. Yeah, 10 points in 20 years. Not bad, right? Like a point a year. I mean, half a point a year. Not crazy. Then, but in 2024, the poll is now saying that 50% of Americans believe in God. Right? So a 3% decline, a small decline from 2021 and 2022, with certainty in God's existence. So the actual number is 49.63%. So under 50% of Americans are certain that God exists, which means that, you know, everyone believes in God. You know, and this is a good indicator about what's going on in society. Everyone believes in God. It's either, do you believe in an external God, something metaphysical, something beyond yourself, or do you believe in self-worship? That's it. There's only two gods to believe in. Either God that is not yourself or God that is yourself, but you're going to worship a God. And if you're saying that you're not certain that God exists, that means that over 50% of Americans are engaged in self-worship. What does that look like? Well, when you're engaged in self-worship, it means that you're paying yourself tithes, right? It means that you're using money recklessly. You're doing reckless things with wealth. It means that you're making sacrifices to your God, which is yourself. What does that mean? What does it mean, making sacrifices to yourself? It means engaging in selfish behavior. It means getting abortions. It means indulging in just all types of moral decay. If you're your own God, also it means that you're making up your own moral law. That means if you're not getting your moral law from an external God, a God is not yourself. It means you're just making up your own laws. It can mean that you don't believe that you were created in a certain way. Right? If you're engaged in self-worship, if you're your own God, it means that you're going to determine your own gender. You can determine your own sexuality. You're going to determine everything about your life is self-worship. So this poll is a good indicator to understand, a good tool to understand why is society in the shape that it's in. It's not because people are atheists. It's not because people are uncertain that God exists or not. This poll indicates, though, this study indicates that over 50% of Americans are engaged in self-worship, the worship of self and everything that entails. Worship of self means that you have your own sacraments. It means there's certain things that you believe in. There's certain things that you think that you can do to improve yourself without the help of God. It means that you're probably looking at things such as horoscopes to govern your life, or you're looking at self-help books. You're listening to some self-help gurus. You're leaning on things you're leaning into your own understanding, into your own control to govern your life. That's self-worship. This study is I think it tells us everything about what's going on in society today. So that's my opening really commentary. Let's get into the Knights of Columbus thing. Oh, Brianna says, that is disappointing They're going to find out when he calls them home. I'd rather be found wrong and foolish by believing than wrong to find out he does this. Right. That's Pascal's wager, right? I mean, it's better, definitely better to live your life, even if you're not certain that God exists. Like, I get it. I think people have great reason to be uncertain whether God exists if you're just trusting in self, or you're getting your information from the news, or if you're, even if you're looking at Christians. There's some wonderful reasons to believe you're not certain whether God exists or not. Are you looking at the world and if you don't have the tools to understand why things happen as they do, or if you have a false understanding of God? I get it. I completely understand why you cannot be certain that God exists. But what Brianna is saying is true. What if God does exist? What if there is a judgment day? What if there is a heaven and a hell? You know, you're only 22 years old, 30 years old. You don't know anything, right? You're not expected to have everything all figured out now. But you can just look at the last 2,000 years and see that there are people who are smarter than you who did believe that there's a God. You can look at their life and see that they lived a holy life. And it was good that they lived that holy life. It was beneficial not only to them, but people around them. Their love that they extended to others extended beyond the grave. Their love is still here with us, all the fruits that they produced. So it is better to live a life like that and die and realize that there is a God than to not live a life that is good and die and realize that there is a God, because you're going to go to hell. Right? So even if you're not certain, there's enough reasons, I think, and as Brandon is saying, to believe, to live as if there are. So, man, the Knights of Columbus. So I had John Salza on the show the other day. I think I uploaded a video on last Wednesday. And he and I were talking. We were comparing notes about our time as Freemasons. And John Salza, and I have remarked that I have reached out to the Knights of Peter Claver. The Knights of Peter Claver are their fraternal group, the men and women of St. Peter Claver. They're like a fraternal group predominantly of Black Catholics. And I had realized, I had learned that they were infested with Freemasons in their ranks. Their past leadership, they had a past Grand Knight, whatever they called them. It was a Grandmaster or a Freemason. Their elected membership has Freemasons, some very influential Freemasons, in fact. And so I was telling John Salza a story about how I reached out to their leadership. I was going to come up there and do like a free workshop about why Catholics cannot be Freemasons, but they shut me down. And then John Salza went on to tell me his experience with the Knights of Columbus. How the Knights had initially had asked them to put out a book about why Catholics cannot be Freemasons, and they're going to distribute that book to their membership. And then lo and behold, when he was on EWTN and he's about to promote the book, a call had come in. Kind of like the call that came in on election night in 2020. Remember, it is about 12 o'clock Eastern time, and a call was made. All of a sudden, votes stopped being counted. Or they told us that votes were not going to be counted anymore. Across the nation, votes just stopped being counted. And then in the morning, we woke up to new tallies. So basically, had told all the new agencies, oh, stop reporting. But somebody made that call. I don't know if it was somebody from the Bilderberg group or, you know, I don't know. Zuckerberg, somebody made the call. And everything shut down. And so that same thing had happened to John Salza. He's about to go on the air at EWTN, I think Life on the Rock, promote this book that the Knights of Columbus are putting out, Why Catholics Cannot Be Freemasons. And all of a sudden, a call comes into the studio and they shelf the book. Amazing story. You can listen to the whole thing. Go back to the show I did with John Salza, the former Freemason. And so this got me to thinking, do the Knights of Columbus have a problem with Freemasons, which means do they have, are their ranks infiltrated to the highest level with Freemasons? So I wanted to find that out. And there's really like no database you can go to. Like the Freemasons are not keeping track of which one is their members or Catholics or Freemasons. The Knights of Columbus are not keeping track either. So how can you find out how many knights are actually Freemasons? You can guess. You can take a wager, right? There is some speculation that about 20% of Catholics around the world are Freemasons, right? So you can take that percentage and say, okay, which percentage of Americans are also Knights of Columbus, right? So when you say 3%, okay. That's one way to do it. You can just take a guesstimate. Or you can do what I did, and I'm about to show you. All right. So what I did was I went over to LinkedIn. LinkedIn is, you know, a social media website that's really kind of built for networking and professional professional type of networking. You can find jobs on LinkedIn. So it's social media for professionals. You know, they have groups, they have chats, they have videos. So it has all the trappings of social media, but it's for, you know, for professionals. So this is what I did. I did just a simple search string on LinkedIn. My search string was just Knights of Columbus and Freemason or Masonic. And countless names came up. And what I'm about to show you is just a sampling of what I found to demonstrate that the Knights of Columbus has a big problem. Here's one guy I'm about to show you. Name is Alfredo Godi. I don't know. Is that how you pronounce the name? Alfredo Godi. All right. So this is kind of how it looks. You know, you go down their profile, right? Let me make this bigger for you. Just come down their profile. And you can see, you know, type of stuff they're involved with, their jobs, their education. This guy looks like he's in law enforcement. And then you come down to his organizations, what do you see? What do you see? He's a Knight of Columbus, New Jersey. He's been a Knight since 2018. And he's been a Master Mason since 2010 to the present. So he's a Freemason first. Also, he's a Master Mason. He also belongs to this lodge, Peninsula Lodge number 99, also in New Jersey. And so maybe he's a dual member. Maybe that's what that means. Or maybe he became a Freemason here. Maybe he did the Freemason thing where sometimes they have these festivals where they make you a Freemason on a bunch of Freemasons at the same time. And then later you go join the lodge. Maybe that's what that means. But either way, he's been a Freemason since 2010 and a Knight of Columbus since 2018. So he's both. Let's go to the next guy. Alexander Sapano. Great name for somebody from New Jersey, right? Kind of like Soprano, but not really. He has a look, definitely looks Italian. He's some sort of paralegal. And look, he's an owner. He's a business owner. Looks like he's some sort of graduated from DeVry. His is in volunteering. Look, he volunteers. He's a fourth degree honorary knight, third degree advocate, coordinator, treasurer. He's active in the Knights of Columbus. He's also a Freemason. He's also a Royal Archmason. People, see, the thing about this, the thing about this is that there's There's just no shame. This is how bad the problem is. These people are not hiding their affiliation with Freemasonry and Knights of Columbus. They're not hiding their affiliation of being Catholics and Freemasons. They're putting it on LinkedIn. They're putting it on like they're like some sort of social climbers. Like, hey, let me show you what organizations I belong to. There's no shame. There's no knowledge that they're excommunicated Catholics, that they're forbidden from being, since 1738, forbidden from being Freemasons and Catholics. Not only are they Freemasons, but they're Knights of Columbus. They, you know, they got the whole fraternal thing going on. They got the whole fraternalism spirit, the vibe, right? They're belonging to many fraternities that they can belong to. They're dipping their feet in both worlds. No, but it goes on. It goes on. Here's another one. Dr. Zachary M. Dahl, DPS. This is organization section. He's a Freemason in Connecticut, Georgetown Lodge, number 39. Also, he's a Knight of Columbus. So he's a Knight of Columbus first since 2005. And he joined the Freemasons years later, over a decade later. He joined the Freemasons. He's a fraternity guy, right? Kappa Delta Phi. That's not one of the fraternities that I covered when I was talking about fraternities with Masonic influence. But this is where we're at. This is exactly where we're at. This is problematic as you can get. And Brandon says, this blows my mind. They either have no shame or they are blind about how wrong it is. Yeah, they could be completely ignorant. Completely ignorant. That's what I want to believe, that they just never heard of this thing. But again, this is why the onus is on the Knights of Columbus. The same reason why I was trying to talk to the Knights of Peter Claver. And I was telling them that you guys are in all these Black Catholic churches. These Black Catholic churches are infested with Freemasons and Eastern Stars, but you have a direct line of communication. You can get the word out that you cannot be both. The Knights of the Columbus even has better access. They could put out a directive today, a communique to be read at every meeting, that you cannot be a Catholic and a Freemason, and here's why. They have the money to put out a booklet, so the onus is on them. If their members are excommunicated, and they're Catholics and Freemasons, this is on them. John Boy says, the Knights have been a poor man's social club for decades. Yeah. And of course, there's better councils than others, right? Brandon says, do you think that is why to be part of a group? Yeah, I mean, what we're looking at is LinkedIn, right? This is where they're putting this stuff. They're networking, you know, they're social climbing. They want to make connections, a lot of these guys. So Knights of Columbus vetted applicants before membership. Yeah, Mary, you would think that'd be like a basic question. Like, hey, do you belong to the Freemasons? Do you have membership in a Masonic Lodge? No, that's not a question on the application. Nobody ever asked me. It's not a question. You know, Knights oftentimes, depending upon the chapter, right? Depending upon the council, just happy to get new members. Here's another guy. This is Richard De Silva. Look at his volunteering section. He's a district warden for the Knights of Columbus. He's a district warden. Been so, a knight for 17 years. He says, I participate in charitable activities encompassing an almost infinite variety of local, national, and international projects. with the organization's unique charity, including Christian Refugees Fund, Disaster Relief, Ultrasound Initiative, and Coach for Kids. We also partner with international charities, including Special Olympics, the Global Wheelchair Mission, and Habitat for Humanity. He's also a member of the Kiwanis. I think the Kiwanis were also founded by Freemasons. Board member at JCI. Man, this guy's just, he's a social climber, right? He's also a third-degree Master Mason and a Knights Templar. So he's very active in the Freemason. He's a Knights Templar, which is the top of the York Rite. He says, as a Master Mason, I implement values of Freemasonry based on integrity, kindness, honesty, and fairness. As a Freemason, I practice charity to care not only for each other, but also for community as a whole, both charitable giving and by voluntary efforts and works as individuals. He's been a Freemason for 16 years. So he became a Knight of Columbus and a Freemason in the same year. Same year, he became a Knight, he became a Freemason. This guy's a joiner. Lori asks, what's the difference between Knights Templar and Knights of Columbus? So the Knights Templar, so in the York Rite, Lori, there's a couple of different rites you can go to after you become a Master Mason. You know, you got your Scottish Rite, you can do that. You get the York Rite. So in these different rites are sort of like, they have different degrees that you can different. So in your York Rite, the Scottish Rite really just consists of one body. The ancient accept the Scottish Rite has, it works typically degrees 4 up to 33. Now your York Rite has what's called different houses or different bodies. In America, your York Rite would typically consist of what's called a Royal Arch, or the Red House. That works about 4 different degrees, past master, Mark Master, Excellent Master, and Royal Arch Mason. Then after you become a Royal Arch Mason, you can either become a Knight Templar, or you can become a Royal Select Master, or the Purple House. They work the Select Degrees and the Royal Degrees. That's why it's called Royal and Select Master. Also, you become a Knight Templar. Your Knight Templar works about, I think, 3 degrees. It has your Order of Cross, your Order of Malta, and your Knights Templar. So there's 3 different degrees there. So Freemasons would call these degrees your degrees of chivalry. Your Ancient Accept of Scottish Rite also has your degrees of chivalry as well. What they are different based upon whether the Ancient Accepted Scottish Rite Northern Jurisdiction versus Southern Jurisdiction. There's a lot of variety there. But your Knights of Columbus, although your Knights of Columbus and your Knights Templar, they would have had used to dress the same. They would have had the swords and the plume hats. What they're talking about is 2 completely different things, right? Because your Knight Templar degrees are based upon, it tells a story of the Knights of Columbus and the Order of Malta and Order of Red Cross defending Christendom, right? And all that stuff is chivalry. That's what it is. So that's that guy. Let's go to another one. Carl Stevens. Let's take a look at him. Let's take a look at Carl. So Carl Stevens, he's a senior digital systems engineer. He's in Seymour, Connecticut. Connecticut is supposed to be like a really Catholic place. A lot of cradle Catholics, a lot of cafeteria Catholicism there. All right. He looks like he's a techie. He's also a disc jockey. And he's did well for himself, right? It looks like his own education is a vocational tech school. Good for him. But he's also a Knight of Columbus since 2016. And it looks like he says he's a Freemason from 2013 to 2016. So maybe there's some hope here for Carl. Maybe Carl stopped being a Freemason after he became a Knight of Columbus. Maybe somebody told Carl, like, hey, Carl, you can't be both. So good for Carl if he's no longer a Freemason. So that's a good one. Let's take a look at James Anthony Pavlik Sr. He's a retired fiduciary investment advisor, entrepreneur, auto exec, John Hopkins University, MS. He got his MS there, and from Old Dominion University, he had his BSBA. He's also a member of the Church of Francis de Sales in Matthews, Virginia. He's on a Catholic Pastoral Council there. He's also a Knight Columbus, fourth degree. He's also a Freemason. And he says Master Mason, and he's a worshipful master, which means he's the head of that lodge. At some point in time, he was the head officer, the worshipful master in Freemason Oriental Lodge number 20. He puts a quote here, brethren making each other better. This guy is a fourth degree. Past deputy grand knight, chancellor and trustee. He's on his parish CPAC, the Catholic Parish Advisory Council. And he's a Freemason. And a Knight of Columbus. This is what we're dealing with here. Mary asked, do you know if Knight of Columbus is going to weed out the membership? I hope so. I hope somebody comes across this video and starts make this an issue. All right. Our next one, Mark Hoffman. He's a real estate guy at RE/MAX. His organization section says he's a Knight of Columbus. Sigma Alpha Epsilon. And I think that's one of fraternities that we covered that were founded by Freemasons. And he's a Freemason in Annapolis Lodge. So he's just a fraternity. So he has Freemasonry up and down his spine. And he's a Knight of Columbus. Let's go to Mark A. Del Negro. Mark says he's a member of USAA. That's funny. That's just a funny thing to put in your LinkedIn profile. Like, who puts their credit union membership in their profile or their insurance? Like, oh yeah, I'm a member of Geico. Like, who? That's just a funny thing to put in your LinkedIn profile. Yeah. I guess what you don't do is put that you're a member of the General Insurance, so people will know you're cheap, right? I don't know. What does it say, USAA? What does that say? I don't know. Your parents were veterans. You're a veteran. That's just a weird thing. I don't know. But anyway, let's go. let's see what Mark's up to. Oh, yeah. He's a joiner. Look at this guy. Rotary Club, Lions Club, Habitat for Humanity. He's the financial secretary, events committee for the Knights of Columbus since 2018. And he's a 32nd degree Freemason, which means he's active in the ancient acceptance Scottish Rite. Oh, he has some other stuff here. Look at, oh, wow, look at Mark. Mark is a past junior deacon at a lodge, which is a weird thing to say. It's nothing really to brag about that you're like a past junior deacon. That's not even a thing. But he wants to put it here. I'm the deacon in the lodge. So in the lodge, you have a senior deacon, you have a junior deacon. And your deacons are the ones that are in charge largely of, or your senior deacon is in charge of the ritual work usually. If you're conferring degrees, first, second degree, first degree, second degree, third degree, your senior deacon is the one that's in charge of leading the candidates around, and he's usually in charge of the education program for the candidates, usually. Now, your junior deacon, he's in charge of the door where people come in. So on the other side of the door, you have a tiler with a sword, making sure that only people with membership cards gets in. And so your tiler knocks on the door, and then your junior deacon, who sits in front of the senior warden, he goes over to the door and answers the door. It's not even a thing. It's not even like a fancy job, right? Now, if you're like a senior deacon, maybe, and you didn't like ever advance past that, maybe I could see you bragging about being a senior deacon. But dude, you open the door? You open the door to lodge? You're bragging about that? That's on your LinkedIn? For what? A bellhop? You want to be the elevator guy? I mean, what are you trying to accomplish on your LinkedIn profile? Yeah, I used to open the door to lodge. It's not even something to brag about. Unless you want to be a Walmart greeter. Come on, man. Oh, Mark is thirsty. Thirsty Mark. All right. What else? Mark says he's a dual membership. All right. So he's also an Elm Beach Lodge. He's a past secretary. Okay. Okay, that's an important job. I'm with you there. He has another membership in another lodge. Major General Henry Knox Lodge. Oh, he's affiliate there. Okay. Oh, that's a lodge just for veterans. Okay. All right. Again, Mark has been a little bit thirsty here. He's an affiliate in a lodge, an affiliate. You know how many lodges when I was a Freemason that I was an affiliate member of? At least 10. In Australia, England, New Zealand, all over the place, I had affiliate membership. It all means that you pay a subscription fee to get their journal, get their newsletter. Mark is putting his affiliate memberships on LinkedIn. I'm done with Mark. I'm done with Mark. What else? Oh, okay, so he's a royal arch. All right, I told you about that. That's the first house in New York, right? Oh, also, he's a royal select master. That's the purple house I was telling you about. So he's done all of the York right except for the Knights Templar. He's a 32nd degree, and he went to the shrine. So he's a Shriner. Oh, he did finish up the York right. He's a Knights Templar. And Mike, so he doesn't even know how to list these things properly. He keeps saying 32nd degree. 32nd doesn't have a relationship with the shrine. It doesn't have a relationship with a Knights Templar. Mark doesn't have a clue how to list these things properly. Mark's whole LinkedIn page is just dumb. Oh, and he's a Democrat. Not surprised. He's a delegate at the 2010 Barack Obama convention. Not surprised. He plays golf. He has a scratch. He has his handicap on here. He's plus 0.3. He's a good golfer. So, yeah, he competes. Yeah, he's a good golfer. Mark golfs well. I can't stand Mark. Mark Del Negro. Oh, my gosh. Jeez. All right, let's go to the next guy. Daniel Monti. I just want to go back to Mark for a second. I can't stand Mark. What is he? He's volunteer at the Spirit of Springfield in 2019. He is in charge of pancake breakfast, server tip number 2. In 2019, he also bridged a nice ball attendee, and he's a prey bull wrangler. Come on, Mark. Are you serious, man? Mark's LinkedIn page is like a mass nightmare. It's like a LinkedIn nightmare. Come on. I wouldn't even hire this guy. He does too much. He doesn't even have time to do his job at work. Come on, U.S. Army veteran. My gosh. I want to contact this council. What council does he belong to? He doesn't say. I was going to send his council. I don't like Mark. I got to find out what council he belongs to. What church does he belong to? He doesn't say what church he belongs to. He's lucky. All right, let's go to Daniel. Oh, John Boy says, oh, let me get to some of your comments. Yeah, Brianna says, they could send out a quick blast. All right, they could do that. All nights we have, we belong to the, we're members of the database. I get emails from the Knights of Columbus about my membership dues or whatever. It's real easy for the Knights to send out, hey guys, you can't be a Catholic and a Freemason. Just send that email out. It's real easy. John Boy says, in my honest opinion, the Knights life insurance programs is what keeps them alive. Yeah, the Knights have all the money. The Knights of Columbus are the bank. They are the bank. And that's why the Vatican loves them. Lori says, do we still need these antiquated clubs? Sounds like they need to be dissolved. Probably impossible to do so, yeah. And probably for the aforementioned reasons, like what John Boy just said, at least with the Knights of Columbus, they're the bank. They're the bank. They're not going anywhere. John says, Knights of Columbus also struggling because there is no more bingo. Brad says is he fibbing? Nah, he's not fibbing. He's a narcissist, probably. I'm not a shrink. I didn't even sleep at a Holiday Inn last night. But if I were a shrink, I would say Del Negro is a narcissist, and he's a Democrat. All right, let's get back. Let's see what else we got here. We got Daniel Monti. He's a cop. He's actually a correctional officer. He belongs to Cesar Good Masonic Lodge, 744, somewhere in Illinois. Oh, he's also an elk. Look at this joiner. Typical of a law enforcement person. Got his union membership there. And he's a Knight of Columbus. He joined the Knights in 1998. 20 years later, he became a Freemason. So you're telling me in 20 years, Daniel Monti never heard that you cannot be a Catholic and a Freemason. I believe him. That's probably true. That's Daniel Monti again. Brett Talkington. That's a great name. Depending on what his job is. Operations manager, project manager, veteran, volunteer. Get some reviews here. All right, get some reviews. He used to work at Homeland Security, Army Reserve. Oh, he went to West Point. Look at Mark. Look at Brett Talkington. Overachiever, Mark. There's Army guy. Look at that. Tactical Training Command. Good for you, Mark. I'm kind of curious. What else you got in education? Oh, just more Army stuff. I mean, you can't get better than West Point, though. Good for Mark. At West Point, Scout Club, Sprint Football, Dean's List. Good job. Freemason. Emporia Masonic Lodge. Let's contact Mark's parish. I mean, Brett's parish. St. Anthony's Catholic Parish. And where would this be? San Diego. Man, let's reach out. Let's reach out. He's a fundraising coordinator at St. Anthony's Parish. What time is it? Yeah, let's give him, I don't know. Let's call St. Anthony's Parish. Let me look him up. Let me see here. St. Anthony's Parish. Who's calling me? That's my wife. Hey, babe.
Yeah.
I'm recording right now. Can I send Olivia down?
That's fine, but I thought she would be asleep.
No, she's up laughing.
All right. Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, give me a second. Olivia! Your mom needs you at the front door. Your mom needs you at the front door. All right. Now I'm back to calling. Let me see. St. Anthony's. Catholic Church. What do we say? What town is it? San Diego, maybe? All right, let me see what we got here. Oh, that's an Orthodox church. Maybe it's this one right here. Yeah, maybe. Let me see if I can give them a call. See if they got their phone number on here. Where's the contact us link? Contact. All right. All right, let me call. Oops. I gotta use my American line. All right, just forget about that. I can't call from Germany. Let me get on my American line. All right. It's ringing.
Hello. Are as follows. Mondays from 2 to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. and 2 to 5 p.m. Saturday from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. We apologize that we are unable to take your call right now. Please leave us a message with your name and phone number, and we will return your call. Thank you.
Yeah, hi. This is David L. Gray from the David L. Gray Show. You can watch me on YouTube. We're doing a video right now about your parish because one of your members, we found out, Brett Talkington. He's your fundraising coordinator there at St. Anthony's. I found out that he is a member of a Masonic Lodge, Emporia Masonic Lodge number 12. He's also a Knight of Columbus. So as you know, you cannot be a Catholic and a Freemason. So we just want to just reach out, let you know, let Father know that Brett Talkington is excommunicated. He shouldn't be on your fundraising coordinator type of thing there that you have there. So it would be helpful if Father will reach out to Brett and let him know that he's excommunicated because he's a Catholic and a Freemason. And if you need any help or any further information, just reach out to me. Again, my name is David O. Gray. You can just put that in your Google and you can find my email address, but it's david@davidlgray.info. And look forward to hearing back from you. And yeah, please again, let Brett's talking to know that he's excommunicated. Thank you. Bye. All right. So we got that one done. Let's see who else we got here. Got William Reese. Got William Reese here. Another copper. It looks like he's unemployed at the moment. He's in Savannah. He's a veteran. Good education. He, Knight of Columbus, he's into area beautification. He's a committee member at the Masonic Home of Georgia. Here's his organizations. So he works at the Masonic Home, but is that a Masonic membership? Let's see. Doesn't really say. Maybe, because you do have a lot of law enforcement people who are members of the Freemasons. So we don't know for sure whether he is a Freemason or whether he just works at the Masonic Home. Let's see what type of groups he belongs to. Yeah, he doesn't belong to any Masonic groups. I don't know about that one for sure. We'll move on. This one is something called International Crossroads. I was unsure about this one. I didn't know what it was. I don't know if it was a person or what. Has a Catholic education. And then here it says he's a 33% Mason. Probably means 33 degree. I don't know really what this is, though. It's just really just a bad LinkedIn page. And he's saying namaste. Yeah. This guy's just confused. So Brother L. Wifford Fulery, a doctor in theology. I don't even know what this is. I don't know. That's just a weird LinkedIn page. So it definitely looks like maybe a Catholic and a Freemason. And somewhere it says he's a Knight of Columbus. Yeah, all right, let's move on to something more interesting. All right, Brian Hill. Project manager, marketing, Illinois, Southern Illinois. Where did I see that he's a Freemason? Let me see. Where did I see that at? I don't know where I saw that one. All right, let's skip that one. And let's go to Adam. Adam Heilman. Down to organizations, Knight of Columbus since 2012. and Fraternal Order of the Masonic Lodge since 2000. So he joined the same year, Knights of Columbus in November, and became a Freemason in September. So he's just getting all his, checking off some boxes there. Adam Heilman. Emergency medical physician. He's in St. Louis. He's down in your neighborhood, Brianna. Let me know if you see him. So not a whole lot there to follow up with. But yeah, but that's where we're at, man. And that's just really just a sampling. That's just a sampling of people who call themselves Knights of Columbus and Freemasons. And this is just on LinkedIn. And this is just a few of the ones I just pre-selected for the show. This is a deep rabbit hole. The Knights of Columbus need to do something about this. It has to end. It can't go on. The Knights of Columbus has a big problem on their hands. It appears to be common knowledge amongst their members that it's okay to be a Catholic and a Freemason. It's okay to be a Knight of Columbus and a Freemason. There's no policing. There's no care for souls. The Knights of Columbus just seem to be apathetic about this issue. There's a story out there about them shutting down John Salza when he put together a book from them that they were going to publish, and they shut it down. The Knights of Peter Claver, they have the same issue. And again, this LinkedIn thing is just a sampling. Just a sampling. If it's this common, if it's this just out there, people bragging about their Knights of Columbus and their Masonic memberships. Just imagine worlds, because these guys know each other, right? Oftentimes, the case if you're Knight of Columbus and then you became a Freemason, it was because somebody who you knew was a knight who was a Freemason who signed your petition, or vice versa. You're a Freemason and somebody who belongs to the lodge was a knight, and they said, hey, you should be a knight as well. These people aren't just operating just like on their own. This isn't just something people are just coming up with. You have to know somebody to join these organizations, typically. Somebody has to recommend you or somebody suggested. Very few people are just going out there on their own saying, hey, I want to be a Knight of Columbus. Nobody's even really thought about that. Oh, I got to be a Freemason. Nobody's just, very few people like, oh, you know, just waking up to do that. No, this is a relationship, right? So if there's one, there's two. If there's two, there's three. This is just a deep web. And the Knights of Columbus need to do something about it. It's nasty. It's ugly. It's embarrassing. It's demonic association. And it's a tragedy that we're at this point. And I encourage the Knights of Columbus to do something. If you want a book of the handout, I could help write it. Or you can go with the one that you originally had with John Salza. If you need someone to come to workshops or anything like that, you know, we'd be happy to help. Whatever you need done to fix this, I'll be happy to jump in and help you fix. Other people would be happy, more than happy, to jump in and help you fix this. Because this is embarrassing. It's truly embarrassing. It's disgusting that this is going on. And Brianna says, they have to know. They have to know. I know membership may be down, but is the decision that hard? Your soul or some membership? Yeah. I mean, she's right. You can't be thirsty and desperate for membership that you're just going to not care. And I think John Boy was right. I think Mary McCullough was right. This needs to be a membership question. That's one way to fix it real quick. Are you a Freemason? That should be on an application right next to Social Security number. And forget about every time, as soon as you join a Knights of Columbus, the first thing they do is send some sort of insurance agent to your house, get you signed up on some sort of overpriced insurance. You need to send an inspection committee to people's house and ask them some serious questions. Have you ever been a Freemason? Are you a Freemason? Do you know you can't be a Knight of Columbus, a Catholic, and a Freemason? Do you know that? Are you in good standing? Are you divorced, annulled? Right? Are you cohabitating? We just need to start caring about people's souls and not be so thirsty about membership and insurance policies. This is crazy. This is embarrassing. But that's the show. I'll see you soon. But until then, until next time, keep me in your prayers, and I will keep you in mind. And I will see you on the next time. Oh, I never did post this one. I'll try to put these banners up. I forgot this one. Hop over to stdominicsmedia.com. Check out all my podcasts, all my courses, all our books, all our ebooks, which are free, all the classics. Check them out, stdominicsmedia.com. But until then, and until next time, blessings and shalom to you and to yours. Peace.